I'd like to speak to you a word at the moment now. If I don't come back on this... If I can't come back onto our subject, doesn't matter. It's concerning this. That already this day, whilst we've been here, two people have come to me and asked me concerning certain things. Do you remember praying for such and such a person? Do you remember praying for such and such a thing? One was a letter came, which I had to answer, and another, I think the girl is still here. Yes, there she is. I can say, all right, I won't embarrass her. She said, she won't mind, said, we prayed about so and so. That's right. Yes, I remember distinctly. Well, it happened, and it happened last night. And that was demonic power in a relative, and God rid the relative last night. Do you see that? This other person said the same. Did you pray? I said, well, yes, as I was writing the letter. I'm afraid I don't get hours and hours to pray over individual cases. Often correspondence takes up so much of my time. Yes, well, the Lord's done it. You see, now, this is the thing, beloved. There is a place where you and I, not getting stupid about it and getting flighty about it and think now we're going to bind everything up in heaven and hell and everywhere else and getting big ideas. This is one of the things the devil likes to do. Puff you right up and be no good at all then. Get hold of a scriptural idea and play it up till you're just about overbalanced on it. Then you're as useless as a fly on the wall. But there is a place, beloved, where we can move in what God wants us to move in. You understand this? We're not here to be at the mercy of the devil. We're not here for that. We're here to know what it is to be sons of God in the midst of our crooked and perverse generation. And we're to shine as lights in the world. And we're to work out this great salvation that's in us. Amen. In a wonderful way, you can get down to it and get hold of situations. And God moves in answer to prayer, even though you may be hundreds or thousands of miles away. This is the point. Not just because you pray, but because in that prayer, you move in power. It isn't just the repetition of prayers or following out of an idea. It is moving in this certainty of heart with God. Do you understand that? That's what you're to do. You're to learn this. All right, we are coming back to our subject. Let's go on, shall we? Over all the power of the enemy has ability. Glory be to God. And this is why you ought to not wonder when the devil does do marvelous things, and he does do marvelous things. You must remember that he has this ability, and you must also remember that he is specifically called the anointed cherub, and he's doing things in the power of that anointing now. Terrible things he's doing as the anointed one. You understand? The fallen anointed cherub. Such is the power of the anointing when God really does it. And he did. He gave it to this one in the beginning. And the devil is a terrible being moving in this power. The fallen being. But don't let's give too much attention to him. Let's come back to the scriptures, shall we? And what God wants us to understand. And if we look into the Roman letter, this time in the 9th chapter, we'll see something that God wants making very clear to our hearts. Understand this in these days. That in the 22nd verse, we're told, God is willing to show his wrath and to make his power known. That's what the book says. That God is willing to make this ability known. Praise God. Now this is a glorious thing. You will know that in this same Roman letter, for instance, in the first chapter, you need not turn this one up, you'll know it in the 16th verse, one of the most famous verses of the Bible, where the writer says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. There it is. You see, it's this dunamis is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. There'll be somebody preaching on that text tomorrow night, somewhere, in the gospel services in England. As sure as we're here, there'll be somebody preaching on that text. You see, but it's this great dunamis, this ability. And you must see what God was saying. All that was in his heart when he was talking about being endued with ability from on high. You think of this great power unto salvation. Look at it again in the Hebrews letter and in the 7th chapter. Wonderful book, this Hebrews book where we were this afternoon. In this 17th chapter, the 7th chapter of Hebrews, and the 16th verse, this is what we read. That Jesus Christ, when he was made a great high priest, was not made after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. This great ability of an endless life. Praise God. This is what he's talking about. The ability of an endless life. Now, some of us have passed our peak ability. Some of you will think you're in your peak ability. Some of you are coming up to your peak ability. But those of us who are past our peak ability, that is, as the sort of bone and muscle, and I don't know, endurance, sound in wind and limb business, we know that simply because we haven't got an endless life. This means that our life is going away, going away, going away. Amen. This physical life, this is bringing us nearer and nearer seeing the Lord Jesus. It's all so glorious. But, beloved, this great power, oh, it's the power of endless life. Now, when you were baptized in the Spirit, when you received the Holy Ghost coming upon you, is this since, if you didn't then, have you thought about it like this? It's the power of an endless life. One of the things that we suffer from is an overemphasis upon the fact that it's a power for service. Now, you will search anywhere you like in your New Testament and you will never find the New Testament says that. Preachers may say it, but the Bible doesn't say it. That's it, you see. This mighty thing that God is doing, it's been scaled down. For service, power for service. I've already pointed out that these men had cast out devils, healed the sick, cleansed the leper, and I don't know what, before all this. They served. It wasn't power for service that these men were going to receive, surely, was it? Well, was it or wasn't it? You've got to face it. There's the scripture. No matter what you might have been brought up on, you've got to face the scripture, what it says. power of an endless life. Amen. Oh. Let's go right on, shall we? The Bible's a very, very interesting book. Luke. And in the Gospel according to Luke, in the first chapter, here it is. We're in perhaps one of the most sacred portions of the Bible here, and those of us who gather on these occasions and have done perhaps over the years, this will not be an unfamiliar passage with us. And in Luke chapter 1, you have in 26, God sending the angel Gabriel to Mary. In verse 27, the great virgin, and he comes in unto her, and he says, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And she casts in her mind, wonder what sort of a thing this was being said, that's what the verse says, what manner of salutation this should be. Nobody had ever saluted her like this before. Nobody had ever come in unto her before and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Praise God. And the angel starts to talk to her, and he tells her that she's going to conceive in her womb, 31, and she's going to bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. And he goes on, and in 34 she says, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And now listen to the angel's answer. And the angel answered and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power. There it is. And the power of the highest shall come upon thee. Yeah. And why did the power of the highest come upon her? So that Christ may be formed. Is that right? Glory. The Holy Ghost and the power. You have the same relationship. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Hallelujah. And Christ was formed in her. Now, if I understand my scripture right, and taking it out of the physical, though not dissociating it from my flesh, and putting it into the spiritual. Am I reading your heart and right, brother and sister, when I say that's what you want? You want Christ to be formed in you, don't you? Didn't Paul say that about the Galatians? He said, I'm travailing in birth till Christ be formed in you. And that needs the dunamis. That's what the dunamis is for. That's what the ability is unto. Glory. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God that this great ability is upon the saints of God, that their flesh should be, as it were, a mother to the life of the inward Christ. It's a glorious thing that this is so. Did you realize that this is what the power's for? The Holy Ghost comes with his power for this reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You'll never persuade me that just because John and Peter and Matthew and Mark and company could cast out devils and heal the sick and cleanse the leper were like Jesus, or had Jesus Christ formed in them either. I don't read it in the New Testament. When the hungry were all around, they said to Jesus, send them away. Jesus said, what, send them away? Got Jesus Christ in. He said, come on, feed them, he said. Well, I'm putting it colloquially. This is the way he said it. Feed them, he said. I understand his heart, don't you? He had compassion on them. This is the Bible. They hadn't got any compassion. They wanted to be rid of the burden. 5,000, Well, they'll all be starving to death. Where are we going to feed them? See, they hadn't got Christ in them. They were just men, that's all they were. But they could cast out devils. They could heal the sick. The power! They hadn't got the power for the formation of Christ in them. They hadn't got Christ formed in them. They had a Christ outside them. Am I right or wrong? That's your Bible. That's the revelation of the truth. The power from on high, glory, the power of the highest, so that the highest may be formed in you, and you may attain unto the highest, and have the highest. That's what the power's for. Praise God. People think it'll be the highest if they can speak in tongues, or cast a devil out of a person. Jesus said, you're not to rejoice if these devils come out of people. We nearly get our heads off. So we see a devil come out of a person, we have a prayer and praise meeting. Jesus says you're not to rejoice because of that. Aren't we a disobedient lot of people? And we expect to go on and we'll keep disobeying Jesus. And we expect to go on and flood the land with light. What, the light of disobedience? He said, you take heed lest the light in you is a darkness. It's the very thing he said. You be careful. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Power of the highest. Amen. That's why they turned the world upside down, beloved. Not because they had a few gifts. Or all the gifts, either. Praise God. Not because they had an anointing. Because, beloved, the power had come. Amen. The power that formed Christ in them. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's great, beloved, to move in this wonderful, wonderful truth. Christ formed in a man. Beloved. I tell you, if you want to live in this great realm where God wants you to live, everything will be wonderful. Listen. Angels. They came to worship this Christ. You know they did. When Christ had been formed in Mary, and he was born. I know now we're entering into another phase, and I've used it as an illustration. They all came because the Christ had been formed. Even the baby Christ. The scripture says that the angels are sent forth to be ministers for those that should be heirs of salvation. But all them love it. When the glorious Christ is coming, I can have 10,000. I can have 10 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels, they said. If I want glory, you don't wonder that angels came and opened prisons for Peter and people like that in the New Testament, do you? Christ was formed in them. Christ was there. The attendants of Christ were there. Hallelujah. Legions of them. Well, everywhere you go now, people are seeing legions of devils. Yeah, I get sick and fed up in moving in what people call deliverance circles. Everybody talks about seeing demons everywhere. Why, boy, let's start seeing some angels. That's what I want. It's right, beloved. You see, beloved, they're there. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Angelic company. Praise God. And you and I are to live and move in this Christ-like formed in you, man. Formed in you, woman. Praise God. Not a pastiche of texts. Not a favorite of scriptures. I pick up people's Bibles at times. You want to be careful if you invite me to your house. I've told you this before. I pick up people's Bibles. People pick up mine. It's all right. It's fair enough. I look in the back, and I see lists of favorite texts that they use at the back, you know. How to deal with this one, how to deal with that one, how to deal with the other one. You don't deal with people with favorite texts, beloved. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When Christ is formed in you, don't you see? You've got the art, you've got the secret, you've got the words, you've got everything. I've led people through, I must tell you this, into things of God, and I've never quoted a text to them. Because other times I've spent hours with them on the scriptures. I don't think yours, but this isn't the point, beloved. Glory be to the name of the Lord. There is a life where you move in the power of the very highest. God wants you to do this. Let's take this a step further. With the very Christ formed in you. Come with me to the Acts of the Apostles. And here's a very lovely verse that you love, that you're familiar with. In the 10th chapter it says this. For Peter speaking, he opens his mouth, verse 34. Very good advice for all young speakers. Open your mouth. Don't mumble. A drawing room sort of a mutter. Don't do that. Open your mouths. Glory. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And so he goes on and he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, 36, preaching peace, by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's it with dunamis. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with dunamis. And he went about doing good, and he healed all that were oppressed of the devil, and he did all this wonderful thing in this great anointing and power. But you see, beloved, he was formed from the power first. The power came upon him, and he was power. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This great ability. Amen. Now he goes about in this great ability. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful. God intends this for us all, you know. He intends this for us all. You will remember. And here's a study for you, Bible students. You get this word power and take it through Luke's Gospel. And you'll remember that it's recorded of Jesus that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tempted of the devil. And you know what he did to the devil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil's only a defeated foe. You want to rub that into the devil. That's right. Well, Jesus beat you. That's right. That's right. It's true. Isn't it? Jesus beat you. Glory. That's it. You see, and it says that after he defeated the devil, it says he came back in the power. He came back in the power. Be there all the time, beloved. and know that in this power, as God moves upon me, whatever He may want to do in my life, I have to let Him do what He wants with me, as He did with His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was as much precious to His Father's heart when He was 28 as He was when He was 31. And you know there's a difference between the 30th and years and those before. These are the tremendous things for our hearts to see, to move and live in this glorious relationship. Jesus had years of living in this. Do see this, beloved. Let the Lord teach your heart. Let's go on, shall we? This time, I want you to look with me in the Corinthian letter. Take the first letter to the Corinthians. Tracing this great word through. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you will be familiar with this great verse. 17. Christ sent me not to baptize. Amen. Now, in the part of the world that I live in, I sometimes like to emphasize this, that Christ didn't send me to baptize. If other people want to keep baptizing people, that's up to them. He didn't send me to baptize. Christ sent me not to baptize. Hallelujah. I'm not a John Baptist. I don't know what John I am, but I'm not a John Baptist. I wouldn't mind if I was John the Beloved. But let's go on, shall we? Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. For it's the gospel that's the power, mark you. Let your mind catch up the truth. Sent me to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. Why? Why not the wisdom of words? Why mustn't the cross be made of none effect? Listen, for the word or logos of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power. Amen. Now when you start to inquire and say, what is this word dunamis? What is the power? Here it is. The cross is the power. The cross was not an afterthought of God, brought in as two crossed pieces of wood on a skull-shaped promontory outside the gates of Jerusalem. That is where the cross was applied to sin. For atonement. That's where the power was manifest, beloved. For sin in the world. The cross has always been God's power. Always. Amen. The cross. And you will know anyway, I hope you know, that this sort of cross pieces of wood is purely pagan idea. You understand that, don't you? It was a pagan idea. It's more than likely Jesus Christ was crucified on one stake. That's your word, star, stake, tree in the Bible. Not necessarily a cross. My beloved, when was, what's today, Saturday, Thursday, last Thursday, I believe. Dear man came to see me down in Exeter. Dear man, he'd come many, many miles. He was in great need. And all sorts of terrible things were going on in his life. And I started to speak to him and was speaking about, I happened to say certain things, and he put his hand in his pocket and he pulled out a wooden cross. He'd gone in an inside pocket and it's got words written on this bit of wood. And this man used to have this in his hand and pray. You know, it wasn't a crucifix. Mind you, I've got quite a collection of those that I don't use. But this was a man far from Roman Catholicism as you are. That is in his professions of belief. But beloved, there he was, got a lovely, it was beautifully planed up and looked all lovely. Felt like a bit of wax, you know. Poor man. I said, give it to me. No. Beloved, the tree outside Jerusalem had to be. But I want to tell you, the cross still is. Amen. It's the cross that's the power of God. And salvation. It's the cross. Hallelujah. And you see, this is why people don't get very far. I suppose most of us in this room know of countless, perhaps dozens, scores, maybe hundreds, who've had an experience called the baptism in the Spirit. And they had it a la book. They spoke with tongues or something. But you know, let's all be perfectly honest now, you know as well as I do that so many of these, it may be, and if you're here, beloved, then God is here in mercy and grace. You know perfectly well they've got no more power than the seat you sit on in their lives. Am I right or wrong? Absolutely right. They've had some kind of experience. That's not what we're doubting. But to have power, the power of the highest. You say, what? Eternal power. Where is it? You shall receive the ability. Is God lying? Is it true? Is it an experience merely that God is wanting to give us something beyond conversion? Another something for us to get onto or settle down in? Is it that? Is that what I read in my Bible? Is that what I see in the Acts of the Apostles? I cannot. What made these apostles act like apostles so that we call it the Acts of the Apostles? And what made the early church act like the early church? Power. Christ was formed in them as true as that blessed one sat up on that throne and Father looked upon him and his bowels moved toward him. And his love moved his heart. And he poured out the Holy Ghost through Jesus, through him, bringing all that life and power and glory of his mantle in a way, rushing down onto men. Saw his son. Glory. God's heart, so full of love, so full, replete, overflowing. The Holy Ghost is God's overspill, if I may put it that way. No more could he hold himself back than he could hold back the blood of Jesus' veins. And he came down and Christ was there all over again. Christ was there. Amen. They bore witness to him everywhere. God saw Jesus everywhere. It's bearing witness to God primarily. Merely the men. Hallelujah. The power. Hallelujah. The power. Praise God. It's though God took one son up into heaven. And before the end of the day of Pentecost was out, he got 3,000 sons on the earth in exchange. That's right. That's right. That's what he saw. Now then. Looks at you. Power. It was this that enabled Jesus Christ to live like he lived. It was this.
Amen. Glory. He was a formulation of power. Glory. Now then, that's what you're to be. Glory. Said God sent me not to preach in wisdom of words or to get baptized in people. That's not it. This man went amongst men and women, beloved, and he feared to get into the wisdom of words, beloved. He feared it. He came off sophistry and philosophy and explanation and theology. He fled it all. He moved in power amongst men and women. It was all power. Praise God. He spoke and it was done. He spake and it stood firm. You say, well, that's what God did precisely. That's what it says in the Psalms. That's right. Many Psalms written about Paul, I would think. You say, surely Psalms were written about Jesus. Well, all David's Psalms weren't. Read them through and see. They were written about mighty acts. They were written about tremendous power. Weren't they? Lots of them. You familiar with the Psalms? And this is the greatness about it, beloved. I know that we only want to sing about Jesus. But oh, beloved, when we see these, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for this. Praise him for that. Praise him for the other. Oh, glory, when men start to praise God because you've been amongst them, when they start to sing and glory as though God had been among them because Christ is formed in you. Hallelujah. What a tremendous thing it is. And this is what God is after, beloved. This is what God is after you. Let's go into the Ephesian letter. It's an exciting study when we get down to the scriptures of truth. In Ephesians, in the first chapter, we read this. And Paul is praying. How many times we've thought round these prayers, beloved. You know, part of my joy and my glory this afternoon sitting here was the thrill of being back amongst some of your the same loving hearts of fellowship. I get a thrill, you know, from it. I could have laughed and sung and praised and loved and let the heart flow. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on, shall we? And Paul's praying that the eyes in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding should be enlightened, that you should know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Do you miss that? I tell you, this isn't just to make you speak in tongues. My word. Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. See, it's not just power now. It's the exceeding greatness of his dunamis. Oh, his ability to us with. My word, it's fantastic, beloved. You and I have got to come awake and alive to this. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and so on. Oh, glory. I've got to have the eyes on and understand. Oh, the listener talk about you shall receive power. You see, it's all right, beloved. But God help us, lest it be our swan song. Acts 1:8. The exceeding greatness of his power. That's your truth. Tell
me. 2 hours.
Glory.
You got a heart that's got eyes in it. Can you see with your heart?
Amen.
I can see with my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So much so do I see with my heart, beloved, that I've fallen in love with all this. Praise Him. Beloved, things must happen in our lives. We who say that we're baptized in the Spirit. How many times do I find people beaten and defeated and all sorts of things? Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, you let the Lord open your heart to see this great truth. You see, Paul says in this same glorious chapter, look in the third chapter. He says, in this wonderful third chapter and verse 7, he said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of this dunamis. His power. You see, this is why you've got some pretty poor ministers. Excuse me, I'm not talking about your... Sorry, I ought not to say that. We've got some pretty poor ministers. This is why I was made a minister, says Paul, by the effectual working of his power, that dunamis. I was able to speak in tongues because I had the power from on high. That's not it. By the effectual working of his power. Glory. And he came right over to become the one that answered his prayer. He says, I'm praying that God will open your understanding, the eyes of your understanding, that you may see. And he says, to make all men see. There it is, you see. It's all here. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all men see? So, what a ministry, beloved. Something effectually working in this man, this great power. You see, what happened to you, beloved, and the day that you were baptized in the Spirit was a prelude. That's all. God intended to get hold of your life and make you what Jesus Christ was, a minister. Scripture says he was a minister. And God wants to give you ministry. And if you will let this power take effect in you, work in you effectually. Why, you think when the scripture says the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon people that they were ducks and it ran off them like water off a duck's back. Not denying it came, but where is it a fortnight after? Or 2 years afterwards? Or a fortnight of years? Where is it? It ought to be increasing, beloved. By yielding unto God, by letting God have his way, by letting this thing take hold in us. God get hold of us utterly. Oh, to be brought into this, I firmly believe that one of the first principles of prayer in the heart of God and intentions of, in his heart is to make men answer their own prayers. I can give you illustration after illustration of this in the Bible. One that springs readily to mind is that the Lord Jesus said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into harvest. And in the next chapter, he called them and sent them. He told his disciples to pray, and then he called them and he sent them. Answer their own prayer. That's right. You'll read that in Matthew's Gospel. You see, beloved, when a thing becomes a fervor in a man's heart, and it's fire in his bones, and it's power from on high, and it's not mere sentimental, and it's not just something that he's worked up, for as sure as you work it up, you'll work it down. That's what you'll do. But if this be of God, then, beloved, God will make a man come like himself. For you will remember, if this be true, and I think your heart will find it true, that Jesus Christ looked upon a world of men and loved men and women and prayed for men and women and visited men and women and said, Father, I want these men and women saved. I want them washed in blood to be clean. And then Father said, well, go down and do it yourself, Jesus. You've asked me. Is that right? That's right. And he did it. That's true. And glory be to the name of the Lord. You must see that there is an inner law of constituted being in everything of the Scripture. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says, because it's the power of God. That's why he's not ashamed of the news of Christ, because it's the power of Christ. It isn't just words, it's power. It's something Jesus said, something that Jesus is. And it isn't something I do, it isn't something I say because I'm anointed or because I'm baptized in the Spirit. It's something that I am. It isn't an enablement to do something. It's an enablement to be someone. God grant that this be upon my heart and upon my soul and stamped all over every fibre of my being. You're to be Christ to men and women. That's what you're to be. You're not to be a babbler. You're not to be a vain talker. You're not to be a Bible waver or something like that. You're to be a Christ to men and women. That's the whole purpose of it. Praise God. And if Mary had said, what have you come upon me for? Blessed Holy Ghost, England said, because I want to send Christ through you unto men and women. That's what the Holy Ghost has said. And that's what he did. Praise God. It's better to see what he does than hear what he says. What I mean by that, it's better to get the results than just cling to promises. Works out on the same level. They have fulfillments. All these glorious things. Let's go one step further. And this time, we'll look in that same chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh. There it is. You see, when this power comes, it comes to work in me. Did you realize that? This great ability come to work in me. Work in me. Praise God. It's working in you, is it? Well, all right. If it's working in you, what has it worked? Oh, I don't know, it's a sort of feeling I get at times. Well, what's that got to do with it? Yeah, I feel it working. Someone sat and talked to me. Sorry, I have to tell you about these people that talk to me, but they do, they come and talk to me, and that's it. And this is really, this dear man, and he sat and talked to me. You know, I got in meetings, he said, and I feel warm, like fire burning in me. Oh, I go, I feel like something on my head, she says. Then I see colours all from this. And then he said, I'm anointed, he said. And then I can speak in tongues and use my gift. Just relax, Father, will you? Just relax. Sit where you are. Just relax. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him! That's right. He thought he was under the anointing. Hope you don't have those sort of things. If you do, come and see me afterwards. Well, don't wait till afterwards. Have it dealt with now. People think this is it. You see, and you know how the power works in you. It just doesn't come on you for sort of a... I'll tell you another thing you want to be aware of. If you're sort of in meeting, and you sort of put your hands up and you feel like sparks tipping off the thing, you want to get delivered. I tell you, that's not the Holy Ghost. Now listen. Jesus Christ is God's normal man, and you never read that he had sparks flying off his fingers. Now you must understand that Jesus Christ is God's normal man. And the Holy Ghost, it isn't just a little pet phrase of mine that I come out with. The Holy Ghost has come to make you exactly like Jesus Christ. Sort of hot flashes running through me. You need deliverance, my brother. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't have hot flashes. He didn't say, make the men sit down. I've got a hot flush, come on. I feel all hot inside. Yeah, laugh at it, and perhaps you'll be laughing at the ridiculous notions that the devil has pushed upon the churches. But I find this throughout England. Then we talk about revival. A revival of what? We've got it. We're Pentecostal. What have you got, beloved? What have I got? You'll tell when this power's working you. It's working in you. It'll make you do what this verse says. You see, here's the Bible. It says, pray. You see? Ask and think. And it's done. Because the power's there. Working in you. See? Oh, I see. So God sort of makes it work through me. Hallelujah. That's what you are, a vessel to be filled with God so that he can make it work through you. Simple. Answering your own prayers. So I thought, I always ask God to answer my prayers. Yes, well, of course it is God. But you see, you ask and you think according to the power that works in you. I want to tell you there's a power working in you now. One power or another. Amen.
There's power working in you.
Praise God. That's the tragedy.
And, beloved, this power is the great takeover. So that now, there'll be power thinking. Now, let me say you want to be one of these high-powered things. And one of the worst persons in the world, sorry ladies, is a high-powered female. They want, my word, I tell you, you'll have all the men ducking if that starts. That's right. An intense female is abomination to a male. So, he'll say to me, you don't half say some things, Bella. It's right. I tell you the truth. If no one else will. The tremendous thing about it, beloved, is that there's a power that works in you. And you're not an intense this or an intense that anymore. It's wonderful ease. I've already said so. I told you, if you said to me, lift that table up, brother, I haven't the ability. I might have done once upon a time. It's an ease. It's a sweetness. It's a flowing. It's a naturalness. I am, you see. I am. What? A witness unto him. The Holy Ghost has come and he's got this fixation. He's going to do it. You get in these sort of intense, listen, beloved, this is what the power's all about. Glory. It's so simple. Listen to it. If you listen carefully, it's like the running of the blood from Jesus' veins. Needs no more power than the pump of his heart. That's all it is. Listen now. It's as easy as that. God redeeming the whole world as easily, physically. He was completely inert. He did nothing. He only hung. Cross. He never ran here and tore there and huffed and puffed and blew. He never did anything like that. If it was that, it was most likely this. That's all. That's all. Car from on fire. You know. God save. Blessed be the name of God. Now, I don't mean that we've all got to go and sit so rigid and still that we stop breathing and come dead. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, beloved, is this. That there's a power that works in. And that dunamis, I want to tell you something now. That word, worketh in, is the word energy. And it's that dunamis has come to be your energy. That's what Paul's saying. Put it down if you're making notes and don't ever forget it. That this ability from on high has come to be the energy of your new manhood. That's what he's saying. According to the power, the ability that energizes me. That's really what he's saying. Now you can't put your finger on energy, can you? What's energy? What that is. What is energy? Don't want a medical definition of it. Show me an ounce of it, will you? Put it out for me to see. See, people have been deceived. They thought it's sort of power to do works. It's power to energize your new life. It's an inworking.
Hallelujah. Glory. What is it that energizes God, that makes him fly swifter than a cherub's wing? Eh? What is it? What makes him come? What made him come on the day of Pentecost? Of a mighty rushing wind filling the place. Where did it all come from?
That's it. That's it. Is it in you?
Say, well, I don't hear any musty, mighty winds or something like that. No, no. Is it there? Energizing you. Power from on high. Hallelujah. Eh? Something along this line, you know, and it's used of something else. Come to my heart, O thou wonderful love. Come and abide. Lifting my life till it riseth above envy and falsehood and pride. So on. I'm not wanting now to switch back into the love channel, though love and power are quite the same. In God. You understand that, don't you? I mean, we talk about different facets, characteristics, angles, but they're all one. We get very analytical, but God is whole. Hallelujah. And it's this, beloved, that energizes the whole of the life. Oh, praise God. Don't you see that as you read the Acts of the Apostles? Where did these people get their energy from? Where did they get it from? Didn't they have families to bring up? Oh, yeah, they used to have about 20 children in those days. I mean, two's too many for most families today. Women are worn out then. But they had 20. Did they not? Wasn't John Wesley the 14th child, for instance? Yeah, I think he was. Pardon? 18. 19. Sorry. Yes. 19. Oh, yes, because some died, didn't they? That's right. Beg your pardon. I believe he was the 14th of those that lived, I believe, if the others died. but what I'm trying to say, is that these people, this power was real in their lives. It was tremendous. I know, beloved, that this is meant to be something far, far beyond what people take it for. In what we'll call Pentecostal circles. That's ours. The Lord has got to move in a tremendous way. Let's go right on, shall we? Because I suppose, yes, it's 9 o'clock. And I'm going to finish in a moment or two, I hope. And in 1 Peter 1. Listen to this. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. There it is. Now this power is to keep you. Hallelujah. Same word as dunamis. Kept. Actually, that word by is in. Kept in the power of God through faith. Kept ready to be revealed. This power's come to keep you ready. See, not just believing that Jesus is coming, but ready for his coming. Oh. This power is what it's come for. That's what the glorious Holy Ghost is about, beloved. Keeping you ready to be revealed. What a revelation. What would you be like if you were really revealed to me now, brother and sister? What would you be like?
What would you be like if you were really revealed to me? Sometimes people do get revealed to me. That's it. Ready to be revealed. Now the power is to keep you ready. You shouldn't be wrestling with a terrible sin inside your life. You shouldn't be all ugly if you could be all turned out inside. Ready to be revealed. This is what the power's for. It's vastly more than Acts 2:4, isn't it? Vastly more. So may the Lord lead us into this, beloved. To be ready. Now, what would you consider readiness? Now, come on. It's a question to spring on you all of a sudden, isn't it? If I said you come tomorrow morning, you that will come, and bring me a list of what you consider to be readiness for the coming of the Lord in your life. That's right. Now, this is for those of you who are kept in the power of God, ready to be revealed. See, the Holy Ghost, beloved, has come for this. The power is for this. But God save us if we think it's only so that when we come together, we can have these lovely times. What we think is a lovely time. I know lots of people, if they come together on a Sunday morning and they can have a sing in tongues and they can all use their tongue and all have a message or two or something like that, they had a wonderful meeting. That's made Sunday morning for them. Well, now, praise God, I hope if we come together tomorrow morning, we'll have this same kind of thing. But what, beloved, is the vital thing is that you, somewhere about next Wednesday dinner time, that's right, or just about the mid-morning break, that's right, whether you're ready. Whether you're ready. Now, is there one of us who would think if we were ready if God caught us with a packet of cigarettes in our pocket? Now, that's just something. No, right. Or would you say, Lord, give me 2 minutes. I've been looking at the television. Let me get cleansed and forgiven before you come. Would you really like to go to heaven singing like the Beatles? Now, come on, be honest. No Beatles in heaven. Naught that defileth enters there. Now, I'm not saying the Beatles can't get saved, but they won't be Beatles then. I've only just named something. I want to typify something. No, beloved, and it isn't there. And if he caught you answering your wife in that tone, or you speaking to your husband like that, or, that's right. Now, the power's here, beloved. This is what the dunamis is about. Amen. That's why you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So Orville, I thought the Holy Ghost was how I could sort of lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Mark 16, so on and so on. No, I told you they all did that before that. That's only so it should continue. That's all. The tremendousness about it, beloved, is that it was a vital, tremendous, glorious, inward thing that God wrought in these men and women, that they became before the eyes of God and of men and of angels and devils like Jesus Christ. That's what it was all about. Amen. And the fact that they could do the same works as Jesus Christ just goes for the speaking. And the fact that they spoke the same way as Jesus Christ spoke, obvious. And the fact, beloved, that they could let the world go, and that they could do all sorts of things, and could use his name properly. They used his name, and it was right, every time. Every time. Because their life qualified them to use the name. It's right. Lives and names go together. If you hear, for instance, if you hear of a chap named Joe Black down the road, you don't think of a life that goes under the name of Bill Sykes. You don't think of that. So you see, a life and a name go together. Amen. This is how it is with us, beloved. And we can move in this great realm. God wants us to move, and it's in this, beloved, that the great build-up will come. It's in this that the great thing will be wrought that we seek after with all our hearts. The power from on high. Amen. All right, now let's pray, shall we? Now, I don't know whether you had what we'll call an Acts 1:8 or 2:4 or whatever experience you want to talk about, whatever text. I ask you whether you have had such dealings with God as this. Amen. You must receive this power from on high. You must, beloved. Amen. It was such a must with God that Jesus went to the cross for it. Amen. Amen. When the Word and the cross came together, that's when everything was done. That's right. The great power. Oh, Lord, how wonderful it all is. Now you open up and receive. Go on. If you know that this must be the next great thing in your life, now do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Praise his name. Come on, come clean from the bottom of you. Hallelujah. Let the Lord deal with everything, beloved. Let him break everything there that's got to be broken. Come into this realm. I'm seeking to walk and move in it myself. I want God to have me out of it. If I called you for a response and you know that you need it, would you respond tonight? Right from the bottom of your man. It's got to come out of the fantastic, almost fairy-like world. It's got to come in a real glorious power of God in life. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I see Pentecost as the great takeover. I see Pentecost as God coming in to claim what he had paid the price for at Calvary. This is how I see the Pentecost. I see Pentecost as the fulfillment of the longings in the heart of Jesus and the intention in his mind when he first walked by the sea and said, John, Andrew, Peter, follow me. I see Pentecost as the consummation of this. Amen. Do you? Hallelujah. Glory. Witnesses unto Jesus. They scarce knew what it meant when they heard the words fair curse from his lips. But oh, they lived in every passing moment of the day. Proved it. Witnesses unto him. Hallelujah. If you want to talk to him, talk to him. Just where you are. You know that you've got to do business with the Lord now. Now you pray. You open your heart. We'll pray together. You reach right out to him, not as a forlorn little creature in some sentimental manner. Come on sure ground. Jesus has bought you. He loves you. It's all right. He's moving now to consummate everything now. You let him do it. Open right up. Let him take your being over right now. Hallelujah. You are his lawful right. And he's going to move in uttermost grace to you. Go on, open yourself up right to the bottom of you and drink in. Believe now. Hallelujah. And receive with thankfulness. Glory. Amen. Power of the highest shall come upon you. Amen. Amen. His eternal power. Glory. The exceeding greatness of his power is to usward who believe right now. Glory.